You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB, the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So, guys, the sum of all fears happened last night.
Oh no,
Ben Affleck.
Oh, I saw this.
So I got it. I got an Uber. Right, I'm gonna go see my friend up in Broward. Right, so I get in the Uber and I got my AirPods in, and you know, but like when you're listening to something, but they're also playing something, it kind of you like. So I'm listening. I'm like, what the hell is this guy listening to? And I take an AirPod out. And I heard the unmistakable sound of my own voice. And I said, oh, shit, this guy's listening to the show. And it was a show from yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? So I'm like, do I say anything? I'm like, I feel like I'm pretty well shrouded in the darkness here. But at the same time, I'm looking at the dude. I'm like, my name is on the, my name and my mug are on my Uber profile. So how could he not know? So I'm like, well, if he doesn't say anything, I'm not going to say anything because, as we know, well established, I don't like to talk on my Uber rides. Mm. But he's listening, and there's traffic, and it's the whole ass show. I'm listening to the show. I'm like, just get to the TJ Houshmandzadeh interview so I can stop hearing my own voice ring out in the darkness. So
does the Uber app have that silent feature which tells the driver that he wants a silent ride?
Oh, if depending on what. Like level.
I did preferred for the first time on Sunday.
What's preferred like?
So preferred is, I mean, it's, you get like the 5-star drivers and theoretically they're supposed to show up in a nicer car.
Mm.
So it's like an extra $9 or whatever. And then, so once you punch it in and then you order it, then I think this might've been Lyft preferred. And,
oh, yeah.
And then it like a little like series of icons shows up. Do you want this to be quiet?
Yeah.
What temperature do you want the air at? Like it sort of prevents these options for you.
Uber's version of this is called Uber Comfort.
Mm.
And depending on, because it's all based on like the live demand, right? Supply and demand.
Presumably the availability of and good cars.
Availability of drivers. Yeah. So sometimes there's a lot of times, actually it happens to me a lot here, where Comfort is cheaper than Uber X for whatever reason.
Mm.
But last night was not one of those nights. Last night was the night where Comfort, which has that option, Roy, of saying no conversation, that was it was pricey, and I was like,
"What
okay.
is what does the difference have to be for you to be like, I'm going to treat myself tonight and get myself an Uber Comfort or a Lyft Preferred or whatever?" I was going to the airport recently and was like, "It's only a $10 difference for the XL. I'm doing it."
Yeah, see, you know, I stopped doing that XL for a fact for one reason. Because XL, you think, oh, they're going to show up with the Suburban. I'll look cool. They always show up with a minivan. It's always a Toyota Sienna. And I'm like, hey, no, we go back.
I got a Suburban last time. It was really cool.
No, it's nice when you get the Suburban. When you get that Toyota Sienna, it's like, there's no way you can look cool. You just drop me off here at the corner, Mom. Like, just, I don't want people to see me.
Orange slices there, too.
Yeah, exactly, right? In the little center console, it also doubles as like a cool. Yeah. Look, I drove a minivan. Minivan for a while, for like 7 years, 6 years, like from a convenience standpoint.
That's shocking.
It's
is this like at the peak of your days with the Suns? You're into the arena.
Hell no. Yeah, this is post Suns. This is after I had twins.
Puns.
After I had twins, so I've got three kids and they're all in car seats. So it's like either you get an SUV or you get a minivan because a regular car you can't put three car seats in a row. And the minivan was the cheapest option. So I was like, well, I guess I'll do it. And I hated every day of driving it. It drove like a boat. But this thing, God bless it. First of all, storage out the yin-yang, right? Wherever you want. Can I still say that, by the way?
Is the yin-yang?
Yeah.
Yin-yang twins?
You just
I can Google it. But as far as I'm aware, I don't, you know.
Every day I find out there's a new problematic thing that I just didn't know. I was
you
like, oh.
Learn.
It's a problem.
Yeah. So that, and I was in an accident in it, and like, you don't want to see the other guy. Like, my thing was like scratched lightly on the bumper, and the other car was like just was a mess of just metal crunched up. And I was like, oh my God, this thing's like a tank. But
bad on gas, though.
There's bad on gas. What's those SUV? But more importantly, Roy, there's no way. You can drive a minivan and be cool. I don't give a shit how new it is, how many features. You got the TVs and the headrest. You got the it does not matter. At the end of the day, you're still driving a minivan.
But isn't that the decision that you make? Like you're actively making a decision for this amount of time, I will not be cool because I am trading functionality for looking cool. Chris, you looked very judgy earlier when Amin said, And you're talking about getting an SUV.
You live a charmed life. You have one kid.
That's true.
You and your wife.
I am in the market for an SUV right now.
You guys can trap and stuff. You do all like.
Don't enough with the whole man defense zone thing.
I'm just
parents
saying,
overuse
like,
that way too much. Like, now I'm playing zone.
Dude,
like, shut up.
I mean, you know what?
Oh, come on, man. Smoke,
Lewis has been saying it for 2 months now. Like, I'm playing zone now. Me and my wife are playing zone.
Too many men and women on the field
almost
over
said
there.
It because Lewis says it so much. And I was like, well, I feel like I heard this somewhere. It's because Lewis says it all the time.
Dude, I'm telling you, man. Like
three in the paint. 3 seconds, you got to watch for that when you're playing zone.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Got to get out, get that foot out. Like I love when those guys do that.
Wow,
you ever see a guy when he's like he's in the paint and he does the thing where he gets his 2 feet out, but his body never leaves. Yeah. His upper torso stays in the paint.
You know what they call
bottom?
Feels like a technicality.
Chris, you know what that's called?
Get in and out. The old in and out.
No, it's called 2-9ing.
2-9ing
because it's
2.9
seconds.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So we're gonna be 2-9ing nice. Over here, and like what you do, Chris? You don't even you got 1 foot. Right outside the paint, like, and then the other foot is as deep in the paint as you can
like
get.
A tippy toe on the outside.
As long as the official sees the effort has been made, you don't actually have to get out of the paint.
The cleanse.
Isn't there like sort of a version of where like someone just stands there for 7 seconds and they're so undeterred by like not getting the call that they just almost become part of the scenery and the referee like forgets to call it?
There's a philosophy that the refs will call a couple just to show that they're calling it, and then after that, like, they won't keep calling it. So there are some teams that'll play like that. Like, the Warriors, that was a big thing for them that first championship year with Bogut, where Bogut just stands there. And he's like, all right, how many of these are you going to call, realistically? 2, 3? But there's, like, 97 possessions in this game, so I'm just going to stay here and camp out in the paint.
What's a top five or top three overlooked or disrespected rules by the officials?
Discontinued dribble, probably, right?
Yeah, it's traveling. It's traveling.
Well, there's
sure.
travel.
It's 100%
travel. There's also the lane violation at a free throw. What about this?
Yeah.
That's a great shout. That's a great shout.
Yeah, you just wander in there and like you just.
Like, what is the technical rule? You can't like move into the paint until the ball's released.
Yeah, these guys cross the line.
As soon as they start their shot, these guys are like boxing out.
Well, I know in high school and college it's the rim. Like it has to hit the rim before.
But no, in the NBA, on the release. But it's funny because some guys have weird, funky releases. So you got to go. If you guys remember Chuck Hayes, he played for the Rockets. back in the Chuck Wagon was his nickname.
Chuck Wagon.
And so Chuck Hayes.
He was incredible, by the way. He was like 6'4 playing center.
Yeah. I mean, he was, yeah, he was that really, really high IQ player. People didn't know that because he was zero on the skill level, but like super, super smart, right? So when he shot, he would like stand on his tiptoes, and then right at the point where he thought it would release, he'd still hold it. So the guys would all like be stumbling into the paint and then come back. I think I saw one where like literally all five players that were lined up in the lane line got the violation because he just kind of froze at the top.
Guys, we've been talking a little bit too much basketball here.
Hold on, I have one more thing on basketball.
Okay, go on.
One more thing. My mic wasn't on, so I was trying to
say. Hey, one more thing.
There's a video of Big Perk where he gets the ball at the top of the key and takes, I swear to God, 10 steps without dribbling the ball.
Wow. Is it the
yes,
yeah.
It's that one. Yeah, where he's got the ball and then he's like, exactly. He takes 10 steps around the top of the key and then passes the ball. It's one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
It reminds me of the LeBron one at Utah where he's like just like kind of holding the ball and walking. Yes, and the guy's like, are you seeing this?
Yes.
All right, let's play football. Let's talk football, guys. Football starts.
Yeah.
Football. Yeah. Yeah.
Chris Cody today.
Let's all bang heads.
Definitely no. No.
So Chris Cody today, we're on with David Sampson. I was trying to pay attention to what he was saying, and all that was getting heckled behind me was, who's your coach of the year? Yeah. Cal Brandt is all in on the Vikings. Let's do some of this. Chris Cody, let it out. Let the football from out of your pores.
I think...
Does anybody know CBS or Simpson?
Right?
No, that's college football.
That's college football.
That's not
the SEC on CBS.
That's college too.
That's college in ESPN, yeah.
That's all I wanted to do. I'm good now.
That's the new thing from Amazon.
All your football analysis you wanted to get out.
I just want to talk football.
I know.
I don't care what we say.
That is sick
football. I got it. My coach of the year candidate.
Oh, candidate.
My coach of the year candidate. My prediction.
Can we give the odds, by the way?
Trump candidate.
Yeah, it's brought to you by DraftKings.
Courtesy of our friends at DraftKings Sportsbook.
He's a homer.
You know who the favorite?
Mike McDaniel is the coach of the year.
By the way.
I don't need all those.
I heard something completely.
Why
different.
Are you yelling?
Hold on, everyone. We need. Okay, let's bring it all back. Bring it down. By the way, Billy, the name I said was Trung Candidate. Continuing our 90s/mid-2000s NFL players who have been forgotten.
Wow.
Mike McDaniel, that's who you got, Chris? You saying that with your chest?
He's talking.
I know.
Yeah, Chris, we're doing a show.
Amin's asking you a question. Amin asked you a question.
All right, go ahead.
Hold on. I love the second bit of that. After they go.
It's going on.
Anyway, so Chris, Mike McDaniel's your coach of the year?
I am focused.
You are anything but focused.
Okay, look, I think coach of the year, you got to pick. It's usually a worst to first. The Dolphins were not worse last year, so I think it's going to be tough for Mike McDaniel to win coach of the year.
He's second favorite, by the way. He's level with Dan Campbell and Kevin O'Connell to be coach of the year. The favorite.
Where's Nathaniel Hackett?
He's right there. All the new coaches are up there.
That's how it works,
it's kind
right?
of ridiculous. No,
guys, when I was in Chicago, I locked in Kevin O'Connell and Mike McDaniel, coach of the year, threw a couple of flyers out there.
I was in Chicago. All right.
But in June favorite, and Billy, I loved it.
The favorite is Brandon Staley, the coach of the Chargers, who might be most controversial coach in the league with his decisions to go for it on fourth down.
I love it.
People are saying that he actively harmed their chances to get in the playoffs last year. Now he's the favorite for coach of the year.
You guys find yourself rooting for coaches that do things like that, like go against
the grain. Absolutely. Like, I hate all the Brandon Staley criticism because the only times we focus on it are when it fails,
right?
Not when it works.
Yeah.
And it probably all came out in the wash last year. I don't know what they probably were 50% on fourth down, and he probably gave them chances to win in some games. And also, like, if you're Brandon Staley, why wouldn't you back Justin Herbert to get a yard?
Who's the opposite of Brandon Staley? Like, who is there? Are there any coaches left?
Tony Dungy.
No, that are currently coaching. Wow. Oh, like
Mike McCarthy.
Mike McCarthy, for sure. I would also say
he would punt on third down if he could.
I would say Pete Carroll is up there too.
Yeah. What's the difference between like an unconventional thinker and just a dumb person?
Right. See, that's the problem, Billy. Therein lies the issue is that you can't tell whether this person is actually like an avant-garde, like visionary, or just a dumbass.
Dak running and running out of time at the end of the playoff game last year. Like, genius or just
That's the difference.
Matt Patricia's the difference?
Yeah, that's the difference.
That's the line. Like, if you're Matt Patricia, if you have a pencil behind your head, you're not a visionary.
I saw Matt Patricia around here, I think.
Is he on TV?
Yeah,
what does that mean?
No, I think we can get Matt Patricia. I think he's around here somewhere.
Yeah, he's in there somewhere.
Yeah, I'll work on that.
Okay, good.
No one gets that joke.
They will, the Chargers, in a second when we find them, Billy. Yeah. Jeez.
The Chargers, by the way, were 65% on fourth down.
65?
What does that rank?
Where teams don't get to fourth down.
What does that rank?
Fourth. The highest percentage was New England at 71%.
But it's sample size too, right? It's like how many, because the Chargers are going more so on fourth down than anybody else in the league.
Right, they led the league in conversion, so they converted 1.3 per game.
I would count a punt as a successful fourth down.
It's not a conversion, though.
What does that
mean? I would count it. The aim of that play is to kick the ball far down the field. I would count that as a successful play.
But the success is actually getting a first down.
You do that on the first three downs. That's what real teams do.
Third down conversions is the same thing.
Billy, how do we get you over to our side?
On what?
Like the advocating on fourth down, or advocating punting on fourth down and being conservative. I want everyone should be all aboard the Brandon Staley thing. No. Everyone.
No. All aboard!
He's too preachy for my liking.
True.
Why is he preachy?
Too preachy.
We get it. You're a nerd. Talk dumb to me, okay?
Well, isn't that what Mike McDaniels is?
No, he's just
singular
dumb.
McDaniel.
That's the line.
McDaniel?
Oh, no, Mike McDaniel. Wow. I was thinking about McCarthy. Nah, careful, McDaniel, buddy. We'll see. We're giving him a couple days.
You think he's not a nerd?
I don't know what to think of him yet.
It's the glasses.
Gotta be honest with you. Don't know what to think of him. There's too many people high on him, and I'm wondering.
And they're all here.
Well,
in this room. Yeah, sure.
No. There's high on him nationally. You don't think McDaniel?
Oh, no, I know, but I'm saying the fact that Greg and Dan and Stu, everyone's so high on him. This is the great area where you'd bet opposite. You go opposite the flow. You say this dude is.
I want him to succeed. Why? But it seems like the expectations are really high. Like
way
he's the
too
savior
high.
Already.
It's like how have we not learned?
There he is. There's Matt Patricia, guys. Come on, Matt.
You're not even on camera.
Sure. Right?
I have to go on YouTube and
there
look
it
for
is. Yeah. If you're listening,
can't see
to
the pencil.
Podcast.
Turn your head a little bit.
There you go.
Turn your head the other way.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
There you go. Oh yeah,
listening
that's good, though.
To this on YouTube.
Good. Yeah.
What's no, Bill like?
Yeah. Find it on YouTube. You get the idea.
Right.
And there it is.
That's got to be a top five bit we've ever done, right?
Bye, Matt.
Like the payoff.
Without
Definitely.
Dan, just right there. What we just did, let's all go home today. Let's be proud of what we
that
did.
That is
there.
A top five bit that would never happen with Dan here.
Absolutely.
He's sending everyone to the ocean at that point.
Yeah.
So I believe the Dolphins over under remains at 9.5.
That feels low.
Does it?
I felt the jump, no.
Nine and a half.
Way over.
So, 9 and 8. But I think the over, I think you have to play, you have to pay plus juice on the over. So. But you're right. I mean, the Dolphins expectation, I don't understand. Actually, it remains at 9. The Dolphins over under is at 9.
That's
over 9 is plus 100. Yeah, so
hold on.
Straight up even numbers.
Why? Why?
What do you mean
why? Why do we have an over under that doesn't end in a 0.5?
I agree. For me, almost locking in that you're going to get your money back.
Yeah, man.
The Dolphins, for me, this year, are a 9-8 team. Like I think that is exactly right. I think that line is made perfectly correct. But I don't understand where all this hype is. I really am convinced now that a bunch of teams or a bunch of analysts just have to decide based off watching last year's film. I'm gonna make a bold step out into the abyss and go, I like. I'm all in this year.
Hold the
on
phone.
The New
Not
Orleans
enough
Saints.
Hype for that
Hold
half
the
game.
I love the New Orleans Saints.
Hold the phone. The What's Dolphins up? Have been. Thank you, Amin, for holding your phone. Yeah. The Dolphins have been an above average team the last couple seasons. They add a Kyle Shanahan like offensive coordinator who they've almost all had success. Anyone under that runs that offense, along with adding Tyreek Hill, a top
Kyle
five
Shanahan,
receiver.
Who, by the way, is not 500 as coach of the 49ers.
All right.
Well, there's a lot of injuries there, though. Chris,
I know
that's
but,
also playing
but
the
that
result.
Scheme works. It's proven.
Yep.
With the top, add a top five receiver. The I get you. You lose Brian Flores, so you're the question is, can they? Because last year's defense was a top five defense.
They were a Pro Football Focus number 7 in defense.
All right,
last
top
year.
10.
Yep.
Arguably top five, just in terms of whatever. That's semantics. But I'm just saying, it's ripe for them to get a little better. At Tua, you have Tua now, a year older.
I mean, but that's the whole thing, right? The whole thing is Tua. And ultimately, we've learned nothing between January and now that either bolsters the argument for Tua or reduces the argument
but
for
Mike
Tua.
Mike McDaniel does not need to say he's the most you're just totally disregarding that comment as he's just building up his guy. Or do you think this guy who coaches offense, seen a lot of quarterbacks, arguably a lot of bad quarterbacks, but he's saying this is the most accurate quarterback, best thrower of the ball I've seen that I've coached. So that's... That to me is he's saying that this guy can be in this league.
Is that also from someone who's been around Jimmy Garoppolo for the last?
But you can say some right. That's why I threw that in there. That caveat. If you look at the quarterbacks that Mike McDaniel's coached,
the only competition is really Matt Ryan in his MVP season.
But it's like, but that right there, he's saying more accurate than Matt Ryan. I mean, I just think he doesn't have. Yes, it is coach speak, but he can say other things. That's not this guy thinks Tua can be a good quarterback. Like, I don't think he says that comment if he doesn't actually believe that. I trust this guy saying this guy can be good if I put him in the right spot.
See, I remember Doc Rivers calling DeAndre Jordan a Bill Russell type. Like, I've seen this way too many times where you got a guy, particularly a guy whose confidence isn't quite where you'd want it to be. And I don't think that's out of the question to ask, is Tua's confidence, forget about his skills, whatever, where's his confidence after, like, from going from this guy is, like, people are tanking for him, remember?
Yeah.
To, kind of like Fitzpatrick better. And, like, people shitting on him. That's a tough blow for a kid like that. And, you know, obviously he's coming back from injuries also in there. So, to me, that read as, like, this guy is trying to pump up a guy who's lost his kind of his mojo.
100% too. And I think that when Chan Gailey and Ryan Fitzpatrick were there and they were kind of building the offense around Tua, is already Tua playing at a disadvantage because Chan Gailey's like, no, Ryan Fitzpatrick is my guy.
Yeah. Right.
Right. So he's always playing from behind the eight ball of, like, I'm not a vertical thrower. I am a different kind of quarterback than Ryan Fitzpatrick. How am I ever supposed to succeed in a offense that was tailor-made for another guy? And when the coach doesn't like me, right? Now all of a sudden everybody's getting on the same page. And it almost feels like Mike McDaniel is more confident in his own abilities to create quarterbacks than in Tua's ability to create quarterbacks, right? Like, so if you look at San Francisco's numbers, their yak is insane. Yes. Like, they had George Kittle, Deebo Samuel, one of the most hyper-efficient guys with the ball in his hands. You look at his average depth of target versus his yards after catch, they're insane, right? Like, he's incredible. So you look at Tyreek Hill now, and you look at Jalen Waddle, two guys that presumably would have major yak.
Cedric Wilson
too, but I think it'll be more funneled between those two guys. All of a sudden, Mike McDaniel's like, I have the two perfect prototypes of, like, I'm going to throw the ball, get them in space, and take off.
Right, and those are things you have to project, though, because Tua statistically is accurate. I saw Warren Sharp put out his quarterback accuracy rankings.
Oh, that by the way, is insane.
Yeah, he has him as the eighth most accurate quarterback in the league.
Let's go!
Number one in short distance, number three in long distance. He's bad in two areas. One is medium distance, and the other is while moving. He's 33rd in the NFL in accuracy while moving.
Out of 32.
Boy. Out of 40, it says here.
40.
So,
backup.
Yeah, so starters that are...
Right, right. So I do think that Tua... I can't really question his accuracy.
That's what I'm saying. So what are you questioning?
I'm questioning his playmaking. I question his ability to move around in the pocket. I question his ability to manipulate defenses, to own the position. Like, there's
bad offensive line.
Look off of safety.
It's not just about being accurate. Now, you can say that systemically, Mike McDaniel is helping him out here and is going to make his life easy because the 49ers offense succeeded, really, despite the fact that Jimmy Garoppolo is similarly undynamic as a quarterback. But I think so far to this point, Tua has been an undynamic, a non-dynamic quarterback. He has not been special. He's not made big plays. He's done what he's been asked to do, but very often that leaves you in 3rd and 8. Without really, for me, like, my whole feeling about quarterbacks is, how do I feel in 3rd and 8? And the answer is, I have no confidence in Tua in 3rd and 8.
Trying to figure out where you're going. Which song are we doing here?
The NFL films.
Oh, you're thinking of networks. You hit me with NFL films.
It's the weekend observations music. So this weekend, as it relates to the NFL games, I have one prevailing feeling.
What's that, Chris?
And that is, I love the home underdogs this weekend.
Mm.
There are so many of them across the National Football League.
What?
And I'm excited to bet on all of them. If you give me 7 points, I mean, you've got the spreads in front of you.
Wait a minute.
I know this might sound ridiculous. I know that you, dear listener, do not want to enter the weekend with your money on the Chicago Bears, but they're getting 7 at home. I'm taking those points. You, dear listener, do not want to enter the weekend with your money on Davis Mills. But the Houston Texans, they're getting 7 points. Give me those 7 points.
What?
Well, there's one set of points I'm not taking.
The Jets?
The New York. I will not bet my money on Joe Flacco. I have one rule in life.
I was about to say there.
Don't put money on Joe
Flacco.
Revenge
game. Revenge game, yeah.
What are we doing here?
I'm still shocked about the Rams getting that.
The Rams are home dogs.
Yeah, that's crazy. Now, I know we talked about it with David.
Super Bowl hangover.
Samson about Super Bowl hangover.
He was wrong on that. In last 16 champions are 10-5-1 the following first game. I read that yesterday.
I mean, generally the first opponent is not always that tough.
That Thursday night game is always a good game.
Last year was Bucks Cowboys, right? And like Micah Parsons was dissected by Tom Brady.
Yep, exactly.
That's the game where they lost it at the end, right?
Damn, it was a great game.
The Cowboys cowboyed it up.
So here are your other home doggies. The Atlanta Falcons. 5.5 at home against the Saints. Taking the Falcons. Yes, I am.
He's talking spread.
Right, exactly. I'm not betting them to win, but I think you might go 5-3 with this strategy. There's probably 8 home dogs this weekend. It will work out for you. And I know that you do not want to have your money on the Atlanta Falcons.
Oh.
But that's the point. Las Vegas knows you don't want to put your money in the Atlanta Falcons. So they're giving you 5.5 points and they're at home.
I'll give you a home doggy.
What do you got?
Broncos at Seahawks.
Oh, wow.
Gino, go out there.
I am so with you
on
this.
Everyone is making jokes about Gino. Oh, my God, they're starting Gino. I want him to go out there and show Russell Wilson up.
But the thing is, you wanting him to do that
and him doing it are two different things.
Yeah, right.
He's Gino Smith.
Visualization, guys.
Yeah.
The power of belief.
Willpower, yeah.
They're giving you 6.5 points. I'm going to look up right now on the Action Network because the Action Network has all the numbers for where the money is coming in and all the games. I guarantee you on that opening night, the numbers will show that all the money, 79% of the money on the Broncos, 89% of the bets, they're begging you to take the Seahawks.
Our money.
Take the points.
Come on.
Take the points. I'm open.
Live,
whenever,
Chris.
Whenever
live.
You see... Whenever you see out there, you listener, that 75-80% of the money is going on one team,
go the other way.
You're going to do well.
Swing away.
Bet in the other way. Bet on the bad teams this week. That's my strategy.
Walk away with my drugs.
And now that we've given our thoughts, audience, we're going to call back to Naked Chris here. Now we want to know your lock of the week. So I want you right now, we're going to just lay out for a second. I want you to tell us, because we're very interested, in your lock of the week.
I can't hear them.
That's a terrible pick. Did you hear that one guy?
I was expecting you to come up with another song there.
Yeah, they're all the way in on the Commanders.
Did you hear that one guy in his car? He was like, I'm taking the Commanders. What an idiot.
-2.5 against the Jags.
Jags sneaky good this year.
Exactly.
I disagree with the guy in the car. That was a bad take.
Six wins.
Maybe I shouldn't say this on air. I'll say this for later.
Just say it. We'll bleep it. We can always bleep
it.
Circle of trust. I don't know if this is going to be like a DraftKings sensitivity thing, but the idea that one of the things we talked about on our podcast is about how the big time gamblers can move the lines.
Yeah.
And the way they do it is by betting in the Asian market first, like those places open first. And so by the time you get to hear, they've impacted the money so much on one side that the lines here have moved, and then they go back the other way. And that's how they manipulate lines in order to, you know.
So, like, hypothetically, I could put $1 million on one way, and that would affect the line, and then I could put $3 million. If I have trillions of dollars, I could put $3 million on this moved line and get a better price.
Yes.
What, is that still a thing in the world in which, like, there's 25 states in which sports gambling is legal and bets are happening all the time?
Probably not. Like, this is something that was happening, like, in the mid-2000s.
I remember, Chris, at the Super Bowl, we were talking to the guy who helps make the lines for DraftKings Sportsbook. And they all have like a power rating system where they have like, this is how we view all the teams going into the week.
Mm-hmm.
And we like, they give them a number. I think it's something like, you know, the Rams last year in the Super Bowl were 98 and the Bengals were 96. And they give everyone a number and that's how they make the line. And it's actually a fairly simple process. Like, I figured it'd be way more complex with like way more algorithms.
I feel like there's stuff that they're not telling us too.
First of all, why are we not hearing these stories? You guys go to the Super Bowl at, like, I feel like...
It was live. We did it live. Like, we it was on the show.
I think we recorded that, and, like, I think we posted it on Mystery Creator.
I was going to say, did that ever make air?
I think that was a YouTube exclusive. I still have it on my computer, I think.
A YouTube exclusive. No, I feel like every time, like, months and months later, you guys will bring up a story. I'm like, I don't remember that at all. Like, I mean, to those shows.
I mean, it's a lot of content, to be fair.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, so he was giving us insight, but it's only like four or five guys. They all have their power rating system. They go, what do you think? Commanders, 2.5? 2.5. 3. 2.5. 3. And then they,
that's it?
Yeah.
I don't, no. There's definitely more to it than that.
There's got to be more to it. There's no way it's just rating system of like, hey, these guys are 97, these guys are 96. Oh, you know what? -1.5.
Well, I mean, like, how do the Rams end up +2, right?
Because I presume that... They at the beginning, the line opened at Bills -1, correct?
Mm.
Yeah, I have it here. I think the line opened at Bills -1. So presumably they have, maybe the Rams even as, they have the Bills as like substantially better because the Rams are at home. Although, I don't know how much.
Is it three for a home?
Well, it's normally three, but remember the Rams very often get out-attended in their own building. Mm. And so.
Oh, come on. Do they?
Yeah.
No, but no. Not against some AFC East.
You don't think the Buffalo fans are traveling across the country?
See, this season? This happens all the time.
It'll be a 60-40 crowd.
As Marlin fans, we get this all the time, where the minority crowd will be louder. So, like, you'll hear the Mets fans cheer when they're on, but it's not 50-50. Like, it's probably 70-30, but you just hear them, so you think, wow, it's half Mets fan. Like, I doubt, to Amin's point, I bet you it's more Rams fans, but... The other teams do get a big audience.
You guys are also discounting the bandwagon fans of LA who all of a sudden the LA Rams are the Super Bowl champs, and it's the coolest place to be now in LA. Everybody wants to be at SoFi.
Dude, there's this bar in LA called Bootsy Bellows. They have like a suite on the field, so it opens up and it's like you're on the field, and then there's like a bar right there. It's the coolest thing. But yes, this is like Lakers Showtime era Lakers right now. All the celebrities are going to the Rams games. Everyone's on these like very exclusive kind of on-field suites. Like, now, is it a wine and cheese crowd? And will the Bills contingent be loud like Chris said and crush beers on their head and like go crazy and sound loud? Yes. Yes, probably. But I think you're going to get a lot of LA people in that stadium.
Now, joining us in progress here is someone who actually lives in Los Angeles. Mike Schur is joining us now to provide us with his stat of the day. Before we get to it, though, Mike, do you believe that the Rams have properly galvanized the city of Los Angeles as a football town? And do you believe that the Bills fans might out-attend them or be very close to 50-50 tonight for the season opener?
Well, first, what do you mean by LA people? Man. I don't like the tone of your voice. I'm talking to Amin. What's LA people? Oh, okay, what does that mean? What do you mean by LA people?
People who live in LA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think you know, Mike. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Hollywood types. Mm-hmm. The Hollywood elite.
La Brea.
My guess, that stadium is amazing. I've been there a couple times. It's an incredible stadium. It's like a city, and it's beautiful. And I think nothing can galvanize LA as any kind of town other than a Lakers town. Even when the Lakers are terrible, the only thing the city seems to care about is the Lakers. The Dodgers have been so good for so long now that the city does care about the Dodgers, but
not even the Kings.
No, not the Kings.
Roy, you knew what you were going to get there. So myopic.
Come on.
It doesn't matter. Nobody cares. All right. Nobody cares about... you know what's interesting is the Chargers are so good and no one cares about them. Nobody even knows they play here. So I would not at all surprise me if Buffalo showed out tonight. But the Rams winning the Super Bowl did do something. Like, people were... L.A. loves a winner. L.A. is a classic front-running town. So the fact that they won last year... There were a way more LA Rams flags and bumper stickers and stuff post Super Bowl than I've seen in the 20 years I've lived here. So it's possible that they cheer louder than the Bills fans. But my guess would be with the hype coming into the season for the Bills and the way that fan base travels, that it's going to sound like a 50-50 split. It's going to sound like a Super Bowl where half the crowd is rooting for each side. That would be my prediction.
Speaking of predictions, who's your NFL coach of the year?
Oh, nice. Okay, there we go. Yes.
Is that what you're talking about this morning?
Oh, yeah. We are. Yeah,
big discussion about
nuts and bolts.
I mean, what a waste of time to talk about that. Who's the NFL coach of the year?
So not Nathaniel Hackett. All right, good.
Sure. No, that's what I think. It's Nathaniel Hackett.
Mm-hmm. Who is he the coach of?
I have no idea. Couldn't tell you.
The Broncos.
Nathaniel Hackett sounds like a Revolutionary War
hero. Yeah, hero,
right? Yeah.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Surprised he didn't go with Nate at some point. Nate or Nathan? Yeah, he stuck with Nathaniel.
Nathaniel Hackett was definitely arrested for high treason in like 1798 and put in the stocks or something. Made a famous speech before he was beheaded.
Either that, or he's part of like a law society at Dartmouth.
Oh yeah. There's definitely a Nathaniel Hackett Hall at Dartmouth.
Yeah,
that is currently being renamed because it turns out he was in the slave trade.
Yeah, the students are protesting outside. Yeah. The statue is coming down. The Hackett College. All right, let's get to our stat of the day.
Stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Stat of the day. Stat of the day. It is the stat of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is the start of the day. Start of the day, start of the day, it is the start of the day.
Stat of the day is brought to you by ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Thank you, former SportsCenter announcer guy. I have a couple of things to clean up from yesterday. First of all, I got very excited when you talked about the ambidextrous pitcher and I said it was Greg W. Harris, but it wasn't. It was Greg A. Harris.
Damn, misinitial.
Oh, no.
There were two Greg Harrises who were pitchers at the time, and I named the wrong one, and I throw myself on the mercy of the court. Second of all, Yankees swept the Twins last night in a doubleheader. The least shocking thing that's ever happened.
Right.
What are they, like 37-100 now against the Yankees?
Worse. Yeah, no, it's 37-121, I think, since 2020. Oh, 2002. Third of all, Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout both homered last night and the Angels still lost.
Nice.
Which is fantastic.
Whenever someone sends me that, I just reply Tungsten Armo Doyle.
Tungsten Armo Doyle, that's right.
It's the Tungsten Armo Doyle stat of the day.
You wonder how this keeps happening, and the answer is last night the Angels used five relievers, and all five of them gave up an extra base hit to the very first batter that he faced, which is an incredible, incredible stat. But that's not the stat of the day. That's not the stat of the day, because today the NFL is back.
Yes,
Jack.
And here's one of my favorite NFL stats. Tom Brady has more career playoff wins than Kurt Warner, Terry Bradshaw, John Elway, Troy Aikman, or Steve Young has career playoff TD passes. Brady has won more games in the playoffs than any of those Hall of Fame quarterbacks has thrown career playoff TD passes.
Well, I thought you're gonna 35. Do. I thought you're gonna do like all of them combined wins. He has more. Well,
By the way, that might also be true because I think he has 35. He has 35 wins. I think the next highest has like 23 or something. He's 3 or 4 or 5 Super Bowl runs ahead of number 2 on that list.
Todd Bowles, coach of the year?
No, it's Nathaniel Hackett. We already said.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
horseback.
Yeah, slave trader.
Did you? Yeah, noted slave trader.
He's Tom Brady is 35-12 as a playoff quarterback. So
that's a crazy thing when you look at his playoff. When you look at his playoff numbers, he's 35-12. That's almost three full seasons of games, right? He's three full 16-game seasons worth of games in the playoffs. It's like LeBron when LeBron has played like however many full seasons in the playoffs in his career in addition to all the actual full seasons he's played. But he's one playoff win away from being 12-4 in four seasons.
Right? Exactly. In a regular 16-game season, he would go 12-4 in all of them. It's kind of funny in retrospect that in the first one, he only threw one touchdown. Like, it was sort of a thing back then that he was game managed and then somehow was given the secret codes to solving. I remember I used to think that Peyton Manning was a lot better than him because of his ability to generate statistics.
Well, at the time, in that first season, when Mo Lewis sheared Drew Bledsoe's lung and Brady had to come in the middle of that Jets game and then play the rest of the season, that is what he was. He didn't know what he was doing. He was a rookie and he was managing the game. And then he just, through sheer force of will and handsomeness, became what he became. But that debate was over. The debate for a long time was like, oh, Peyton's better. And then what happened was Peyton played in a dome. And he had all these great receivers and he threw for a million yards. And then the second he had to play outside in the cold in the winter, he would lose. And so Brady played all year outside and was used to that weather, I think, and was just better in the playoffs. And he has 35 playoff wins in his career, which is so crazy.
Mike, sure. Thank you very much for providing us with your stat of the day.
Anytime.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Don Libertard.
And finally, Fruit Loops are all the same flavor, just different colors. I refuse to believe that.
Is that right?
I refuse to believe it. I mean, try the grapefruit loop and tell me that doesn't taste different than the cherry one, because it does. I love Fruit Loops.
Stugatz.
Put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Lebatard Show. Did you know that all of Fruit Loops were the same flavor, just different colors?
Refuse to believe it.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code Dan for a special offer when you sign up. That's code Dan, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
And now the Suey nominees for Best Back in My Day. Good category. Lawn care.
Years ago, I did a back in my day railing against artificial Christmas trees, but this new trend in lawns is far, far worse. It isn't a seasonal abomination confined to your living room. It's out there for all to see year round. Suddenly, you're the neighbor who paints his house dark purple or vomit yellow or repairs car engines in your driveway. Your lot wears your fake grass as subtly as a middle-aged man wears an ill-fitting toupee. My father, Wild Bill Cody, God love him, used to occasionally dye his hair. One day it was gray. The next day it was shiny jet black. We all had to pretend we weren't seeing anything abnormal. That's your neighbors looking at your fake lawn. Whatever happened to embracing imperfection, the challenge of nurturing and growing, the willingness to make an effort? I love my natural lawn, right down to the dollar weeds or occasional blight of chinch bugs. I love that real grass, so damn durable, can begin to turn hay brown during a brief drought but spring valiantly back to green after a nice rain or two. I love that my dog's load left in the backyard disintegrates and becomes fertilizer. Your dog crapping on your fake grass, that's a tad more problematic, by the way. Heck, I even love the occasional chore of sprinkler maintenance, another small effort taken to maintain a nice natural lawn. I seldom feel more like a Norman Rockwell man than when a neighbor smiles, nods admiringly, and waves as I crouch and dig to replace a damaged head with a glorious Toro T5 Rapid Set. All the while, the fake lawn owner begins to become more and more aware that his plastic carpet can get pretty hot on the bare foot, and then an accumulation of dog urine sets in and becomes a permanent odor. Me? Give me grass, please. A carpet of real, with all its wonderful imperfections. Unchanged since the days I'd cut Dr. McGillicuddy's lawn for $5 and he'd leave a bill on the front porch under a glass of lemonade, usually with a 2-quarter tip. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day. Clothing. I got a flyer in the mail pimping a men's performance stretch knit jogger pant. Performance jogger pant. Look here. If I'm wearing my standard issue 15-year-old cargo shorts while jogging, they're jogging pants. Oh, no. And yes, I said pants, plural. I have a pair of legs. I'm buying a pair of pants. Not in the history of clothing or conversation has anyone ever said to somebody else, "Hey, Ed, nice pant." Pant is what Rover does after chasing tennis balls in the backyard. Of course, there is performance cycling wear, too. I don't get that. Fans don't show up at a baseball game dressed in full uniform like a manager. Why do packs of people riding bikes on the weekend dress in full cycling regalia like Greg LeMond pedaling up the Pyrenean Mountains in the Tour de France? Nike makes performance cotton crew socks. They're socks. Low man on the clothing totem pole and least deserving of a fancy title. How exactly is your left sock performing anything at all? Adidas offers a men's super light, relaxed fit performance hat. Don't get me started on men's flex ripstop performance tactical pants. I plan to come out with my own specialty line of clothing called Couch Potato Wear.
No.
Features a performance t-shirt with technology designed to wick away Cheetos dust and deck shoes specifically designed for standing in one's garage for 3 hours each night drinking Miller Lights while listening to the Greg Cody Show podcast in the dark. The only people wearing actual performance wear are actors on stage in front of a live audience. You want a performance hat? It's the guy in the stovepipe playing Lincoln. Give me back my deck shoes, a t-shirt, and cargo shorts, please, and hold the pant! I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Yes.
Flavored beer. Folks, it's like I tried to tell you years ago. The scourge of America is excessive variety. We couldn't leave water well enough alone. Now we keep messing with the most American of all libations, beer. I can live with lime-flavored beer. It has traditional roots. The British have been putting a teaspoon of Rose's lime in the beer for forever. But now they've got Blue Moon Apricot, Shock Top Orange, Purple Haze Raspberry, Bud Light Mixerita, Strawberry, Papaya. There is no flavor off limits as we desecrate the once noble beer, pissing on the ancestors who gave us this nectar. Greg first tasted beer as a boy when my father, Wild Bill Cody, would favor me with a sip when mom wasn't looking. He'd buy a six-pack of Orbit at Eckerd Pharmacy for 69 cents. Pop-top cans, of course. Back in the days before DUI was a thing, Uncle Buddy would drive up to 1440 from Miami with a six-pack of Pabst Blue Ribbons on ice and a cooler on the front seat when he'd visit because he didn't like Orbit. Those were the days of...
Is that what Zonka meant by you're in orbit?
He might. I thought of that. I thought of that when he was saying it. Bartender, hold the foofy crap beers. Hold the fruit flavors. Hold the chocolate and hold the coffee. If you can't find me in orbit, make mine a Miller's Bleepin' Light. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Yeah. And that's why you should only ever drink Miller Light. Available for delivery.
Thank
Great
you.
Great taste. 96 calories.
Yeah.
Hood ornaments.
The hood ornament guided us like the prow of a ship as the Cody sailed along the open asphalt. Dad at the large wheel under a Sunday hat that I always assumed to be a fedora until one day he shared with secretive pride it was a Homburg. It's a long gone and nearly forgotten piece of Americana.
What are you laughing about? What are you laughing about?
The Homburg hat is, you know, the fedora gets all the credit. Look up Homburg. It's a fantastic felt hat. It's a long gone and nearly forgotten piece of Americana, the hood ornament, a piece of art, a sign of brash flamboyance, a point of prestige, the Bugatti dancing elephant, the Bentley flying bee, of course, the Pontiac Indian war chief, and maybe the most iconic of them all, the Jaguar Leaper. The Bel Air's upwing bird was modest by comparison, not royalty, but it was still where the eye went first, frozen in flight, its stare hypnotic. Junk drawers. Every house used to have a junk drawer, that seldom thought about yet magical repository of oft-ignored but somehow indispensable stuff. Small crap that doesn't really belong anywhere yet seems to belong. The Codys hold on to the junk drawer. All of our tendency to hoard, to never throw anything away, embodied in that 1 13-by-20-inch rectangle of joy. You want a true reflection of who you are? Forget the photo albums and scrapbooks. The time capsule of your life is the junk drawer, the one you always mean to keep so neat and tidy with that nice little plastic organizer tray, but before long it looks like the wreck of the Hesperus in there. But that's life, right? Starts off neat, goes straight to hell. Because I don't often, or really at all, I explored my own junk drawer yesterday in order to write this. It felt like traipsing up into Nana Doogie's attic. What do we have here? An address book. A Fitbit watch I never wore and never will. A dead room key from a Ritz-Carlton. 4 rolls of scotch tape, 3 small birthday candles, 2 golf tees, and a battalion of haphazardly strewn AA batteries. A bottle of Debrox swimmers eardrops. 2 tubes of Neosporin, including one that expired in 2013. Gorilla glue. A deck of Seinfeld Festivus playing cards. A rope bracelet I bought in Haiti. Scissors. My dead dog Riley's old collar. Paper clips.
No.
Cough drops. Coins. An uncooked macaroni noodle. And looky here. The wedding ring I no longer wear. That's me. My cluttered, unorganized, miscellaneous life. Super Bowl commercials. I have never in my life seen such an obtuse parade of ads by companies that didn't reveal their name until the very end, and then it was a name I'd never heard of. Greenlight, Polestar, Salesforce, Meta, Rakuten, Vroom, FTX, Wallbox, Squarespace. Can I get a gold darn ad for Campbell's Soup, please? I'll take a gigantic horse befriending a bedraggled donkey in a straw hat. Something familiar. Anything. I've never missed Betty White so much in my life. The mystique of the Super Bowl commercial has been dying a slow, agonizing death, accelerated by the fact trailers and teaser ads out weeks in advance spoil the anticipation of being surprised that night. Now they're turning indecipherable to all but the hyper nerds who speak NFT and blockchain. I needed an IT guy next to me or an economist explaining the tsunami wave of ads for, I think, cryptocurrency companies. Those commercials need closed caption subtitles, putting everything in layman's terms for the over 50 crowd. The scroll would read, "Continue to keep your money in a bank account or a coffee can buried in the backyard." I'll admit the idea of Bitcoin piqued my curiosity a while ago. To see what the fuss was all about, I bit a coin, broke 2 teeth. Bitcoin, Venmo, Zelle Schmel. Folks, if I can't stick it in my 20-year-old wallet or drop it down my pants, it ain't money. Unless it's a check or a money order or a gift certificate. Those are okay. Bring back Super Bowl ads from the golden age of advertising, when Mad Av ruled and made commercials meant for us all. Campbell's, Vitalis, Motorola, Sears, Xerox, Chrysler, Boeing, Grecian Formula, Noxzema, Chesterfield. I'm Greg Cody, and that's how it was back in my day.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.